Welcome to the Hillside Church Sermon Podcast. We're thrilled to have you join our community. Each week, Pastor Brad, our pastoral team, or our guest speakers bring the Bible's timeless truths to life, offering messages that are not just inspiring, but deeply relevant to your daily journey. Whether you're joining us in Airdrie or tuning in from anywhere around the world, we hope these sermons encourage you, strengthen your faith, and help you feel more connected to Jesus and to us. Thanks for being part of our Hillside family. Let's grow together in faith and love. As family, we go.
And as pastors, Pastor Brad's going to speak next week, we just wanted to bring the gift of speaking over you the truths that God has for you. And specifically today, we're talking about who we are in Christ. Like, what is our identity in Christ? It's funny, the first service, Brad took all the kids because there wasn't very many people here, so he took all the kids upstairs. It was like dead quiet. Now it's a little noisier. But we're gonna focus, right? All right, so we're gonna talk about our given identity. Who does God say you are? It's not another to-do list. It's just a time to receive and simply be reminded of who you are in Jesus. So we want you to just sit back, relax, and we're gonna speak blessing over you. Let the word sink in. So we're speaking this morning about what our true identity is. So I wanna just clarify what that means before we get going. So who am I? Who are you? And so when we're asked that question, we will all often reflect back, oh, I am a pastor, or if you have a business, I'm a business owner. For me, I'm a mom, a sister, I'm an auntie, a grandma, a friend. Those are all roles that I play. I might be a coach to someone, I'm a business owner, I'm a leader, I'm a mentor. So those, we can often take what we do and take that as our identity. Its identity is actually much deeper than that. And honestly, I can lose some of those roles, or they can shift and change over time. And then I can feel if my identity is wrapped up in my business, or my role as a mom, and then all my kids grow up and leave, all of a sudden I'm like, who am I? I'm not a stay-at-home mom anymore. Like, what am I gonna do? Like, and that's a clue that your identity was wrapped up in what you do and not in who God says that you are. And we all tend to just default towards those types of descriptors of who we are. So, who we are is much more profound than what we do. And who we are in Christ, it's always true. Doesn't change no matter what we do. And as a believer, someone who has a relationship with Christ, God has already spoken identity over us. In fact, if you haven't come to faith yet, if you haven't made Jesus your Lord, he still speaks this identity over you. You have yet to realize and to take that on. So even if you don't know the Lord yet, these are things that God says about you. And it's just as he spoke the world into existence, and he also speaks identity over you. No one can take that from us. They can't remove it. It doesn't matter what we do. It doesn't matter how old you are. It's true. It's easier to believe when they're two, at 22 or at 102. Who God says we are is true. And for those of us that have been around a while in the sense of maybe we've known the Lord for some time, we've been discipled, we understand the kind of the basics of who God says we are, sometimes I find that even though we know it with our head, we don't really know it in our heart, or we don't believe it in our heart. And so This morning, I know that you think you know, but this morning I pray that there will be a shift in your thinking, a shift in your belief system, where you will begin to have revelation on who God says you are, that it will be something that becomes profound in how you walk out your life. So I pray also, I've been praying for you, that any lies or misunderstandings about who you are will actually be brought into the light over this time, maybe this morning, but there you will have a season of where the Holy Spirit will reveal to you the untruth, some of the things maybe that have been spoken over you that you've believed. And like, newsflash, not everything you think about yourself is true. And we need to identify what those lies are, what those untruths are, bring them into the light, and replace those with truth. So in our brains, we think a certain number of thoughts. Let's say, I don't know what the number is, because I'm not the greatest with numbers, but let's say it's 1,000 thoughts in 1 minute. You can't just stop thinking something. You have to actually replace it with something else, because your brain, your mind is always thinking. So you need to begin to identify what is untrue and begin to replace that with truth, and then that will become what you live as you replace that. So, just gonna figure out where I am here. You know, there are lies we've latched onto that we speak over ourselves. Some of those are self-imposed. Some of those were beyond our control. They weren't even meant to be an identity marker, but somehow we chose to keep those and repeat those and live those. So just a reminder, we choose how we respond to what others say about us, what you think others think about us, that we choose those responses. And there's a way to change that. Sometimes it'll take a little bit of work if it's been a long-standing belief system that you need to shift and change, but you can do it. And it starts actually with revelation. So that's what I pray happens this morning, is that we get revelation. We also have the Holy Spirit, who reminds us of truth. That's his job, and he is our mighty counselor. So I'm going to pray, and I'm going to pray over you, and then we're going to pray a little prayer together as we prepare to receive. So let's pray. Father, we come to you with all our stuff, with all our belief systems, the lies we believe, the shame we've lived and not let go of. We ask now for and receive your forgiveness. Erase the shame. Take our unforgiveness, take our regret, our mistakes, our false narratives that other people wrote for us. And we just give it to you right now. Lord, as we need it, rewrite and rewire our identity. Show us how to thrive in who you made us to be. And then for a minute, I just want to stay in prayer, but keep this personal. Show me who I am. What do I need to hear from you? Lord, reveal your truth to me personally. I need a personal revelation. And as Romans 12:2 says, transform me by renewing my mind. Jesus, who do you say I am? Transform me, Jesus. Renew and remind me of who I am. I trust you to reveal to me exactly what I need to hear and believe right now. In Jesus' name, amen. So, I simply just want to remind you of who you are in Christ and speak truth over you through scripture, and to tell you, church, to remind you that you are called to win. You are called to live a life that is successful, transformed, fruitful, and purposeful, even in the middle of the messes. Just because life is messy, maybe right now or will be at some season in the future, we all go through trials and tribulations and messy stuff. It doesn't change who we are in Christ, and you can still thrive and see fruit and see purposefulness in the middle of those messy times. So I want to encourage you that just because things might be a little wonky right now, or maybe you're coming into a season where things are not looking the greatest in our view of things, He is still faithful. You are still the same person that He has called you to be, and He will bring you through that. You are more than a conqueror, and you will and can thrive in those times. So I want to encourage you with that. I know that from Scripture, but I also know it personally without taking the time this morning to tell a whole story. We're trying to keep the service to an hour, so we're going to keep it short. But I just want to share that with you so that you know that the identity that He has given you does not change. It is the same. And I just pray this morning as you feel His presence, and we talked about His tangible presence, that you will be able to receive what He has for you. That there'll be one, at least one truth that is a revelation for you this morning. I'm going to cover eight this morning. So first of all, we are adopted as God's child. So in Romans 8, 15 through 16, and there's some other scriptures, we're not going to go through all of them, but for each of these points, there's several scriptures. So if you want to do study notes or study it afterwards, there's a few scriptures you can grab more. There's many more on each of these topics. For this one, I'm just covering Romans 8, verses 15 through 16. And this is what it says. The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by Him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. So we are His child. We are adopted as His child. So the term in this verse where it says adoption to sonship or daughtership, it actually in that time refers to legal adoption, a permanent transfer of a child to the adoptive parent as if that child was born to them. It ends all biological ties and it grants a new birth certificate. So when you are adopted as God's child, it's like you're getting a do-over. You get a new birth certificate. It's permanent. So this reflects that it's permanent, that it's a close relationship. And we know this because it says Abba, Father. Abba means daddy. Daddy, Father. It reflects like a young dependent connection to the Father. It's not a servant-slave relationship. It's not a fear-filled relationship. It's permanent. It's close. It's a loving relationship. It's a cherished, caregiving relationship. You are adopted as a child of God. You are God's daughter, or you are God's son. You are adopted as a child of God. The next one is you are loved. You are loved by God. You're loved by others too, but we all can kind of drop the ball and sometimes we don't feel so loved, but God will always, always love you. Romans 5:8 says, but God demonstrated His own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, so before we think we have it all together, Christ died for us. So His love is not dependent on what we do. Your value was so high that He died for you before you were even born. so that we could have relationship with the Father. And 1 John 3:1 says, "See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God." And that is what we are. We are children of God. And the word lavished, it's not really a common word that we use these days. So I looked it up. I always do this. In Bible studies, there's like, you can look up Hebrew or Greek words. I also just simply look up a word just to know, what does this mean, just from the dictionary. So to lavish something means to bestow something in generous quantities or extravagant quantities. See what great love the Father has poured onto us in great quantities. That's what it means when he lavished his love on us. We are loved with a great love, and it's a love that is not stingy. It is not being withheld. He's not holding out on us. He literally died for us so that he could lavish his love on us. You are loved deeply, extravagantly, and intimately. Daddy, Father, no matter what went down over the holidays or what didn't go down, the disappointments, all of those things, it doesn't matter. No church. You are loved by God, who did everything for you so that he could have a relationship with you. You are cherished. You are loved. You are also forgiven. Ephesians 1:7 says that in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace. So redemption refers to the clearing of a debt, so his blood being shed for us to make a way for us to have a relationship with a holy God. Payment had to be made for sins to be forgiven, so that there could be connection with a holy God. And this verse explains that it was in line with God's grace. It actually says the riches of his grace. His favor is rich, it's complete, and it's extravagant. That's what his forgiveness is like. It is rich, it is complete, it is extravagant. And 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. So connected to forgiveness is confession. We need to own our part, but confession releases his faithfulness, his justice, and he forgives. He always forgives. He purifies us. He makes us righteous in his eyes. That's what it says. There's actually three truths in that one verse. 1 John 1:9 is 22 words, and there are three truths hidden in there about who you are. You are forgiven, you are righteous, and you are pure. There are like treasures everywhere as you read the word. That I just pray that over this next season, as you start or you continue to read the word or you start reading the word for the first time maybe, that these little things will just pop out. They're all over scripture about who you are in him. You are forgiven, you are righteous, and you are pure. What's even more powerful than me saying it over you is you saying it yourself. I am forgiven. With that forgiveness, I am righteous and I am pure in God's eyes. Those are powerful words. You are also a new creation. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, which means we're in relationship with God, that the new creation has come. The old is gone and the new is here. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ becomes a new person. Our old life is gone, a new life has begun. Yay, a fresh start. You get a fresh start, you get a do-over, you get to start new. Nothing is in your way and nothing from your past colors who you are. In God's eyes, he sees you as a new creation. You are a new creation. And I would say, if you're struggling with your past and kind of having a hard time getting to a place of like standing in who you are, is take a look at this and begin to work on this area of who you are in Christ and owning that new identity. We are called. Number five, you are called, which means you have an assignment, you have a purpose. Many people are walking through life going, what is my purpose? I want to know my purpose. Why am I here? Let me tell you, it's right here, 2 Corinthians 5, verses 18 through 20. And it says this, all this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ. So we are reconciled. I am reconciled to God. You are reconciled to God. And gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the whole world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. You have a calling. And it goes on to say, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors. You're an ambassador. As though God were making his appeal through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. So an ambassador, as many know, is a diplomat that is sent from one country to another, and it's that diplomat represents your country in a foreign country. You are an ambassador. You represent God, and you bring the message of reconciliation. You are called, whether you're 2, 22, or 102, you are called to reconcile people to God. You were reconciled to God, and you are called to reconcile others. You are called and you have a purpose. The next one is you are free. There is no condemnation. Romans 8, 1 through 2 says, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. You are free. You are free from the law of sin and free from the law of death. And Galatians 5, 1 says, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by the yoke of slavery. So if we circle back to that first verse, where it talked about where we're adopted as his children, that we are no longer slaves. We are not in this slave, fearful relationship. God knew that we might need some reminders, that we might need to take a stand. It says, stand firm then. When you have paths of thinking that are common, that have been happening for a long time, this is the old way. It is much easier to just think that way. And you need to begin to learn about who you are in Christ and carve new pathways. And sometimes you're going to need to stand firm. You're going to need to make a decision. I am not this any longer. I am now this. I am free. We are not to be burdened, and we are not to put that yoke of slavery on ourselves again. So stand firm. We're heirs. You are free. Number seven is that we are overcomers. You are an overcomer. You can be steadfast within trial. 1 John 4:4 says, you, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. It is because of relationship with Christ that we are victorious. We are heirs to everything that God is and has. We are heirs to that. And so because he is victorious and he has overcome everything, we also are overcomers. Romans 8, 35 and 37 says this, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword?" Nothing separates us from his love. That is truth. Nothing separates us from his love. You are loved. And verse 37 says, "In all these things, we are more than conquerors." We are not just victorious. We are not just conquerors. We are more than conquerors through him who loved us. You are an overcomer. You are victorious, and you are more than a conqueror. You can get through this, and this verse also tells us that we are not alone, that we have an advocate that is with us. And lastly, we are friends with God. You are a friend of God. Romans 5, 10 through 11 says this, "For since our friendship with God was restored by the death of his son, while we were still his enemies, we will certainly be saved through the life of his son. So now we can rejoice in our wonderful new relationship with God because our Lord Jesus has made us friends with God. We are reconciled to him and we are friends with God." He considers us friends. You are a friend of God. He is with you. Friends talk. Friends listen. They share life. Friends are approachable and trustworthy. That is your God. You are not alone. Friends support, encourage, and lift up. So I want to encourage you to begin to look at your relationship with God. And there's a place for honor and reverence, but he has died for you so that you could be friends with God. So I want to encourage you to begin to look at your relationship with God that way. What is it like to be friends with God? There is probably more conversation and more interaction going on if that's how we look at our friendship. If it's not just like, oh, this is the little space of time, my devotions that I'm spending with God, but I am bringing him with me in everything that I do. That's what I want to encourage as you see yourself as being a friend of God. Church, you are a treasure. And I pray that going forward, that you will have a fresh new hunger to dig in and to discover more of who you are in Christ, what he has called you to. No matter how old you are, no matter how long that you've walked with Jesus, no matter where you find yourself today, he always has something for you. So I'm going to get you to pray with me to close, and I'm going to pray in the first person, so, and you don't have to, like, I'm not going to pause to repeat after me, but just, I'm praying that way so that you can come into agreement with me together for yourself. So let's pray, church. Father, reveal to me more of who I am and all you have called me to. Erase and eradicate the lies that have kept me from being all that you have planned for me. Release more of your truth to me as I learn to live close to you and in alignment with your call on my life. I trust you, God, to redeem time and heal my heart in all the areas that I need your truth to become my truth. I give my life and my identity to you. Show me who I am and how I am called to live life to the fullest. Thank you for your word and for your reminders as to who I am. I now choose to walk in the identity that you have given me. Adopted as your child, loved, forgiven, a new creation, called with a purpose, free, an overcomer, and your friend. In your precious name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this message from Hillside Church. We're so glad to be able to share God's word with you as part of our church family. Stay connected with us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube at Hillside Airdrie. Send us an email at info@hillsideairdrie.ca. You can also reach out to our pastors via our website, hillsideairdrie.ca, by selecting our church in the main menu, then our leadership from the drop-down. Our vision is to help everyone know God, know His hope, know His purpose, and know His power together. As family, we go,